Hey everyone, this is Deborah Burton, your host for Solutions from Scripture, from the desk of a Christian consultant. Know better so you can do better. Welcome to 21 Quick Lessons on Overcoming Personal Issues, from the Encounters of a Christian Consultant. Lesson 5, Go Live on the Roof, the Contentious Attitude. You know what? I've told you a million times how you displease me. You don't ever do anything right. You've got a lot of improving to do if that's even possible with you. Drip, 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 drip. Proverbs 27:15. A constant dripping on a day of steady rain and a contentious woman are alike. Just a quick insert. Men can also have a contentious attitude. You are so annoying. Just look at you. You don't even know how to tie your own tennis shoes. Look at the sink. What a lousy job of doing the dishes. Can you ever just keep the house spotless? You're such a slob. Look at how ridiculous you are when you open your mouth. And what in the world were you thinking when you bought me red roses? I only like white ones. Oh, wait, as usual. You weren't thinking. What? Why would you make that ridiculous meal for my birthday? You are no fun. Not at all. I don't even like spending time with you. Go live on the roof. Oh, you'll probably even fall off that because what you do and say is wrong, wrong, and more wrong. You're just such a dum-dum. Proverbs 21:9. It is better to live in a corner of a roof than in a house shared with a contentious woman. I'm sorry to say, this man did go live on the roof of their house. Or, in today's modern terms, a tiny old dirty apartment. At least he could have a sense of peace in this place, away from her. A contentious attitude drives people away from us. Instead of drawing them toward us, it pushes them farther and farther from us. Instead of building a relationship, it tears it down. Contention and complaining, nagging and grumbling, and being quarrelsome doesn't change the person we are doing that to, but it does change what they think about us. And it changes them from wanting to be with us to be wanting to be away from us. Let's look at some scriptures. Proverbs 25:24 in different translations. New American Standard. It is better to live in a corner of the roof than in a house shared with a contentious woman. King James Version. It is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman and in a wide house. New International Version. Better to live on a corner of the roof than share a house with a quarrelsome wife. Christian Standard Bible, better to live on the corner of a roof than in a house shared with a nagging wife. Here's more verses. Proverbs 27:15, a continual dripping on a rainy day and a quarrelsome wife are alike. Proverbs 21:9, better to live on a corner of the roof exposed to the weather than share a house with a quarrelsome wife. Proverbs 21:19, better to live in a desert than with a quarrelsome, nagging, fretful wife. What do these verses mean? In both a literal and figurative sense, the phrasing in these verses is about a woman bringing so much grief to a man through her contentious attitude that he would rather be cold and uncomfortable or hot and scorched, rained upon and drenched in the elements from living on a roof or being in a desert, than to be with her inside a big, beautiful, comfortable home. This is because his wife continually finds fault, constantly nags, relentlessly complains, and persistently quarrels. In these verses, it means the husband is especially the object of the wife's frustration, indignation, and disgust toward him habitually. It also means the contention toward him is unmerited, undeserved, and unjustified, not because he doesn't continually make mistakes, but because there is no humility or grace or patience on her part toward him. What's the description of being contentious? It can be some of these or all of them at various levels and at different seasons of life with a multitude of reasons. Contentious means to be combative and belligerent, easily irritated and annoyed while showing hostility. Contentious means to be discontent, dissatisfied, and disapproving, irritated and annoyed easily. Being contentious means to nag. Nagging means to handle frustrating situations in a badgering, pestering, harassing, needling, and henpecking way. Contentious is being quarrelsome and argumentative. It's being continually disagreeable, but thinking, oh, it's just simply debating. It is squabbling and bickering because this person just knows for a fact they are absolutely right and the other person is absolutely wrong. Let's break this down in the case of a contentious wife. You can make your own scenarios, but here is just one. A contentious wife is continually discontent. Most of the time, there is something to be irritated and annoyed with. She lets her husband know in a demeaning way that she is dissatisfied and disapproving of him. She is combative as she argues over the continual disagreements and disappointments she has concerning him. She doesn't want to listen because she is right, and it's all about winning with her rightness done the wrong way. Her focus is on the negative, and therefore her demeanor and reactions show it. She doesn't look for positive ways to deal with the problem since he is the problem and can't possibly be fixed. And of course, there are no problems except him. She is at the end of her rope and on her last nerve. So she resorts to displaying a contentious attitude. People would consider her as the disrespectful wife that harasses and henpecks her husband, even in public and around the children. She also can be passive-aggressive as she secretly finds ways to punish him, to make him pay for all the ways he has offended or upset her, and they are many. Thus, she continually causes discord and strife, conflict and chaos. She doesn't seem to care or be aware that her marriage is going downhill. A contentious spirit can drive a spouse away in many ways. Socially, sexually, spiritually, physically, emotionally, and mentally. They can stay married and live in the same home, but their hearts don't beat for each other any longer, or at best, very little. Of course, a husband can do the same to the wife if he is contentious. There are very specific commands God gives a husband on what not to do and also what to do to build his marriage instead of tear it down. But these verses in the Hebrew translation are specifically talking about women as wives that have a behavioral pattern of being contentious. not being contentious does not mean we don't speak the hard truth in love, correct, rebuke, or deal with the bad behavior. It's understandable when wives get exasperated because their spouse is ignoring them, doesn't value them, continues in sin issues, and for so many other reasons. But being contentious doesn't solve the problem. It's only a reaction to the problem. It doesn't mean we just shut up and put up no matter what is going on. We can and should address certain issues, asking God to help us use the fruits of the Spirit. Try to be loving and have a peaceful attitude along with patience and kindness, gentleness, and self-control. Many times we may fail at this, but we just keep asking God to change us as we also pray for a change in our spouse. God understands how difficult situations and spouses can be. This life is more about surrendering to God's ways than it is about our spouse. Our life is more about eternity than it's about what's happening in our marriage, which is temporal. The balance is, we don't respect or love the sinful, wicked, or abusive behavior. Respect and love doesn't mean going along with or accepting these types of destructive behavior patterns. We get help on how to deal with those. Each person is responsible for their own choices in what they do or don't do. Being contentious is a choice that's easy to do, but surrendering to God's way on how to deal with difficulties is harder, especially when the other person is not doing so. Therefore, it's important to remember, especially during hard times, it's more about God than it is about the spouse. Let's do PAT, Practical Application Tools. 4 tools to change a contentious attitude. There are 3 attitudes to not have because they are what contention is. The 4th attitude is what we want to have because it's the opposite of being contentious. So we want to change into this. First tool, do not have an argumentative attitude. 2nd tool, do not have a nagging attitude. 3rd tool, do not have a complaining attitude. 4th tool, do have a thankful attitude. Let's get into more detail about these tools. 3 attitudes to not have. 1st tool, do not have an argumentative attitude. Being contentious is the prideful stance of, I'm right and you're wrong, and that's a fact. Even if a person is right, the pride about being right is not right. We might think we won the argument, but we don't win in relationship skills. Eventually, negative after effects become apparent when a contentious, argumentative attitude is continually displayed. The opposite attitude is to have a peaceable one. The tone of voice and the look on the face, the timing, along with the words used, can make a big difference in the outcome of difficult discussions. Not always, but at the very least, you made the effort to be peaceable instead of argumentative. Romans 12:18, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. The key word here is depends. Depends on you means it's our responsibility to do our best to surrender to God's way regarding relationships instead of giving in to our own desire to be contentious and argumentative. Second tool, do not have a nagging attitude. Being contentious is being nagging. Nagging is described as a persistent pestering because of being annoyed with someone. Usually, they get annoyed right back at us, or they withdraw and build up resentment toward us from the inside. It can become a habit to nag because the other person isn't doing what they should be doing, or they aren't stopping what they shouldn't be doing. And we've talked to them at least 102 times because we're keeping count. So we know exactly how many times they have ignored our request. Now we're going to resort to continual nagging. Unfortunately, nagging doesn't work to change a person, nor is it beneficial to the nagger. It's trying to get results in a way that's frustrating to both parties. Maybe the person will eventually do something about the problem, but nagging builds defective layers in a relationship from someone not doing what they should and from someone else nagging them about it. Ephesians 4:29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. The problem with nagging is that it can get to the point where the words that come out of our mouth become unwholesome, nasty, distasteful, and harmful. Third tool, do not have a complaining attitude. Being contentious is being complaining. Complaining is defined as a form of continual fault-finding and griping. It is a grumbling and snarling. It is being snarky and snippy with sarcasm because of constant displeasure with a person or situation. A complaining attitude is detrimental because it's the opposite of being a joyful, peaceful, grateful person that is easy to get along with. Yes, absolutely, in certain cases, there might be a lot of issues where it is totally understandable to be at your wit's end. But being complaining is not a solution to these types of situations. Again, good, godly advice can help us to know how to more effectively handle these types of scenarios. God understands we as humans have limits, and this is why he gives us biblical solutions along with people who encourage us. Examples of people being contentious with others and with God, the Israelites. Exodus 16:8. The Lord has heard your grumbling, that you grumble against him. What are we? Asked Moses to the Israelites. Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord. Numbers 21, verses 5 through 6. The people spoke against God and Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this miserable food, the manna God provided from heaven. Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many people of Israel died. 1 Corinthians 10:8 through 11. We must not put Christ to the test as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction on whom the end of the ages has come. The example is not, thank God, that we are going to get bit by poisonous snakes and die if we grumble. That's the Israelite story. But the example is a lesson to us that God is not pleased with a grumbling, contentious attitude. And then the example of those who heard Jesus. Certain people who heard Jesus' teaching had a hard time receiving his great wisdom because of his simple upbringing in their town. They didn't consider Jesus anything special. He wasn't educated and well-known like the special people, the Pharisees. So they grumbled about him with a contentious spirit. Jesus told them, "Stop grumbling among yourselves," in John 6:43. The Greek word translated grumbling indicates they were murmuring and muttering to themselves and amongst themselves. The word grumbling can mean a smoldering discontent. So discontent starts in the thoughts, and then those thoughts keep recycling, and then the contentious grumbling finally spews out of the mouth. In Luke 6:45, Jesus tells us, "A good man brings good out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." Look at these verses regarding grumbling, which is a form of being contentious. Philippians 2:14, "Do everything without grumbling or arguing." Remember, arguing was the first tool we talked about. James 5:9, "Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door." No matter what our circumstances are, grumbling against God is not good. Nor is it good to grumble against others, because it leads to fighting and quarreling, which is something God tells us not to do. How is a contentious spirit that complains, grumbles, and argues good for any relationship? Therefore, we need to assess what the heart problem is. Why are we being contentious? Are we ungrateful? Do we have a sense of entitlement? Do we think we are better than others? Do we lack patience, kindness, and self-control? Until we pull the destructive roots out of our hearts, we will have an ongoing issue no matter how hard we try. The plant of contention will just pop right back up. That's why we need to go within ourselves or ask a godly counselor to help us find what the root cause of our contention is. Then we can humbly ask God to help us surrender to His way and His wisdom on how to deal with the issue at hand. But we don't have to deal with it with contention. Finding the root of a contentious attitude, here are some. 1, are we negative in fault-finding? Do we have trouble letting some things go and instead hold on? Or do we get annoyed and frustrated easily over things that really don't matter in the bigger picture of life? 2, are we ungrateful and have a sense of entitlement because we aren't satisfied with what we have and therefore we expect more and better? 3, are we on our last nerve because we don't feel listened to and the issue keeps recycling with no end in sight? Things just aren't working out the way we wanted or the way they should. 4, are we exasperated just because we are so weary of not knowing how to deal with the issue? The fourth tool is what we want to have. Do have a thankful attitude. It's impossible to be thankful and contentious at the same time. Be thankful instead of contentious. And remember, this is not suggesting we are to be thankful for the evil and sinful, but we are to be thankful for all the blessings we have and for the eventual good outcomes of hardships. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Why? Because God is good and He does good for us, even when others are not good to us. Just because we don't feel the goodness of God or see it doesn't mean it's not there. It takes faith and trust in God's character. If we are struggling with that, then we pray, God help my unbelief. Psalm 105:5. Remember His wonders which He has done, His marvels and the judgments uttered by His mouth. Sometimes we forget the thousands of good things God has given us and done for us. Sometimes we don't realize so much of His goodness that surrounds us right now. And much of the time, we don't know the goodness He will continually give us, not just while on this earth, but through all eternity. If we are being contentious, then how can we focus on being thankful to Him? We can even thank God for our trials and hardships because they mature us in many ways and prepare us for what's up ahead. A contentious spirit sees what they don't have and what they want without finding and doing solutions. So, what is there to be thankful for? Being contentious is one way to deal with what we don't want, but it's not God's way. James 1, verses 2 through 4. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. This doesn't mean we minimize our problems or absolutely love our hardships, but we love the eventual good that will come out of the hardship in God's way and in His timing. Let's recap the four practical application tools to change a contentious attitude. First tool, do not have an argumentative attitude. Second tool, do not have a nagging attitude. Third tool, do not have a complaining attitude. Fourth tool, do have a thankful attitude. I'll end with this. If you are struggling with being contentious, now you have scriptures and tools to start practicing overcoming this before it becomes you and your relationships affects them in a really bad way. God is more powerful than any problem or weakness we have. Please help others by sharing and asking them to subscribe. In this way, we all are reaching out to encourage others with podcasts that give solutions. I'm thankful you took the time to listen in. Together, we're learning the difficult topics and the encouraging ones. It's all about God's Word. Know it, live it, and share it. Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the Word of our God endures forever.